You're listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by the National Retail Federation. Join us for a look inside the world's largest and most interesting industry. And now your host, Bill Thorne.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Catherine Cullen. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, Bill.
How are you?
I'm doing well today.
Well today. Why are we doing well today?
Well, we're doing well because we're talking about one of my favorite topics, research and millennials.
Research. It's fine to talk about research.
Don't sound just so bored.
No, it's panic because you might ask questions. And from my college experience, I'm just not sure that I'm ready for that. So we have a couple of really great guests today. They're colleagues of ours, but today they're here under a different capacity. First is Artemis Berry. Artemis, how are you?
I am great.
And Artemis is a millennial parent. And we're going to be talking about millennials today. And then David French. Hello, David.
Hello, Bill.
David is not a millennial, not even close, but he is a Gen Xer. So I guess that is close. And he too is a parent of some older children.
I have a millennial child.
That's frightening. But anyway, getting into that discussion, you know, when you think, Catherine, about millennials, there's been a lot of research done. What have we done in this space?
Well, we've been tracking millennials and how they shop through around holidays at different events for the last 13 years, but we recently launched a new piece of research, which I find very exciting. It might give you, scare you away, Bill, but
only scares me away because it makes me realize how old I am, but go ahead.
Well, that's a key finding of the research. Not that you're old, but that millennials are getting older. So most millennials today are in their late 20s and early 30s, and they're doing big adult things like buying homes and having kids. And so we wanted to look at whether they're starting to shop differently. This has been a really disruptive generation. And so, you know, are they different from other parents? Do they have different values? Do they look at retail differently? So that's what we took a look at. And it's really exciting to have actual parents in the room because I can do all the research and look at the data, but I haven't experienced this firsthand. So I'm really looking forward to hearing what Artemis and David have to say.
Well, along those lines, I'm going to start with David because, you know, you have a millennial child.
Actually, what is a millennial? Can we define millennialness?
Yes.
I mean, I've heard a lot about them and I understand they're difficult to deal with sometimes. At least my child is. But what's a millennial?
So millennials are the generation born in 1991 to 1998, according to NRF's definition. So the oldest are 37 and the youngest are 24.
So
23.
So when you look at the classifications, it's like baby boomer, Gen X, Gen Y, millennial. Is that it?
Yes, just go in that Gen order? Y. And David is correcting my math, which as a research person, I should know. But but the youngest, yes, are in their early 20s.
Excellent. David, so you know, you have a millennial child. And do you think that, you know, you read a lot about millennial attitudes, how they're different than the generation previous? I mean, do you see that in reality in the way that your children interact or their friends or their parent, you know, how their parents react to them?
I certainly see it in the way we parented them. And I probably would say that most of the mistakes that we made have manifested themselves as millennial-ness, whatever that is. But, you know, we have a tendency to be much more involved in our kids and much more, I guess the word would be hovering or helicopter. I think helicopter parenting became in vogue with millennial children. So I think it's become more of a feature.
Interesting.
Artemis, did you, as a millennial who's now a parent, how do you think being a millennial has changed your attitudes towards raising kids?
How old is your child?
My daughter is 3.5.
3.5, very good.
So, and I'm on the older edge of the millennials, but I do think technology, you know, always played a small role in my life. Even like I remember it. I don't really ever remember a time without technology or without a computer in my house and things like that. But
TV is a technology, just
FYI. It is, exactly.
And so is a radio.
You're totally right.
Transistor radio.
You're totally right. But I do think
that's great. Did you say
gramophone? Yes.
That's not fair.
I think so. That's probably the biggest thing. I think just in my own life, it also, I saw the shift of my mom going into the workforce and that just changing just a lot in my life growing up. And most of that was a good thing, but just, you know, and I'm a working parent now and kind of have to juggle things in a different way than my mom did when she was at home. So some things like go back to that too, the conveniences I need in my life. You know, it's a part of it. Is I need it. I need that time.
What is that? When you talk about using the technology, what did you use the technology for?
For as a parent, and you know, obviously I'm early in the journey, but everything from, you know, while I was pregnant, researching anything I could about like the nutrition, about the kind of creepy things around what size your baby is while they're in your stomach, what, you know, fruit or vegetable it is. There's apps that help you track that. And I actually shared that with my parents of like this, you know, this is the weekly update. So really kind of, I feel weird saying it out loud now, but it, you know, I got to learn more about the journey. You also have access to a lot more information and that's a little bit creepy. It scares you, I should say. It can scare you kind of the amount of medical information you can access. But the product research was amazing. The discovery of like really fun, small, you know, for me, retailers, like when I was setting up my daughter's nursery. So there was just a lot out there that as a parent, I was able to do that from my couch when I got home from work after a long commute versus, you know, having to do it in other ways. So the convenience was crazy. And that went right into that crazy first year of parenting and juggling and researching, you know, daycares and nannies. I mean, everything. I can't imagine not having the tool in my life.
There's a lot of parenting forums, neighborhoods, you know, parents and neighborhoods, more expansive globally. Did you engage in any of that?
I did, and I actually still do. I'm more careful of it than I was at the beginning. I think you could access a lot of information and just like anything out there in a social platform, a lot of that can be inaccurate. I'm a part of a mom's group for our neighborhood. There's a couple of different ones. I just do one. That's my way of limiting it. But there are a lot of forums that I would go to. Probably when my daughter was a little bit younger, I took advantage of those more when I feel like I didn't know at all what I was doing. And now I've a little bit more confidence and try to use the human interaction a little bit more than I was the first year or two.
David, did you use forums for your children?
We talked to people. We actually had conversations. We had play groups. We would go over to people's houses and that's how we interacted. But you know, all my kids were born pre-smartphone era. So when my kids were young, We were using the phones as phones,
right?
And that was it. For us, it was maybe we still used the internet. We still went online and learned things online, but it was a lot clunkier.
No, that definitely ties into what we've seen, where our research found that millennial parents are turning to their phone literally at every point in their shopping journey. And I can imagine it's both a blessing and a curse to have that much information at your fingertips. But in addition to technology, you know, what other types of ways has your shopping changed or do you think is different than previous generations?
I just want to shop all the time from my phone, but I also work at the NRF.
Well, that's good news. I like that. Keep up the good work, Artemis.
I think the biggest thing is the researching products and services, thing I mentioned around discovering things that I may not have before from, you know, much smaller brands, marketplaces, the ability to access like custom pieces where I may have had to know somebody that, you know, had a special talent for like jewelry making or knitting or whatever that is. And now I can hop on and have somebody make that for me because I saw it on Pinterest. So things like that for shopping that made a huge difference. But also I have meddled in subscription areas as well for both myself and for my daughter. So there's a couple different services I've used.
Is this like a National Geographic subscription? What kind of, what's a subscription service?
No, not quite that. We do have that as well, but the subscriptions that I use, so one, I utilize a few different retailer options for subscribing to products. So we did, I did it for diapers, wipes, the nose wipes that I don't think anyone really, well, we may not need, but I had those on subscription to make sure I always had them in my house. So those allowed to, you know, gave me the discount on the products, but also just made sure I was replenished since we knew we needed it. And the retailers knew when I would need it. So, and could it allowed me to adjust. So that's a big one. I've also subscribed to a product. I'm a tech geek and subscribed to a product so that my daughter gets STEM type of toys. So I joke that it's Legos on steroids, but it things that encourage building and, you know, looking at numbers at a really young age. So I wanted to jump on that journey for her early and get a toy subscription every month that's a STEM toy that isn't like a baby doll when you're raising a girl. I try to do that. So yes, I have a few. And I use it for myself as well. There's rental clothes when you're in maternity to after that help make it your closet a little bit easier to deal with when you're in between sizes. Well,
Artemis, we could not have picked a more perfect millennial parent for this podcast because that's exactly what we found in the research, which is that millennial parents are about twice as likely to use a subscription service as other generations. And they like it for the two reasons you mentioned, convenience and discovery. I'm curious, David, how did you approach convenience and discovery when you were raising your kids? Because I don't know about you, but my parents would drag me to Costco every Saturday and we would spend 3 hours shopping for all of our needs, which I'm still not sure why you need Costco for a family of four at the time, but it's how we shop. So
when my kids were young, I could tell you exactly how much a box of diapers cost at Costco and the formula and all the other things that we would buy in bulk. Costco or Sam's Club or BJ's, you name it, there were invaluable. You just reminded me, the last subscription service I used was the Columbia Record Club.
What is that?
We're upgrading, David,
One penny, and I could buy, I think I bought like 7 albums, and then I paid the rest full price. They were actually albums, yeah. Which I hear are cool again.
Yes, but, they are. They are cool. I bought one from Urban Outfitters, a record player. I did for my husband. He is a huge fan and has all his dad's old records on the wall. Yeah, so that's why when you're older millennial, you get a little bit of the cool factor from the older generations.
Well, I need to warn my mom not to throw those albums away.
Do not throw those out. You're welcome to bring them to my house.
Yeah, there's just a couple that I want. But David, I mean, you think back today, if you're at the airport, what you see are a bunch of kids. Young children. I mean, children in strollers with tablets. We didn't have that. We just had the TV. Were your kids at the point where you could set them in front of a computer or a tablet or something along those lines, or was that later?
We used electronic sedation for some functions. We had
I didn't know it was called that.
But yeah, we had a portable television that weighed about 20 pounds, and we could plug it in somewhere. And we'd carry that around.
In the back of the car.
Yeah, in the back of the car. We carry that around with us. But I'm fascinated by the way parents today use technology with their kids. Because I think on one level, it's really very positive. You can interact, you can teach your kids so much more in a way that they're interactive with, especially on something like an iPad. On the other hand, I will tell you that the downside is later on, you'll have a dinner that where nobody looks up from their phone for the entire meal.
Yep.
And you have to put rules in and those rules are easily, you know, broken. And so, but I think technology for parents today is really fascinating. It doesn't surprise me at all that every step of the way has a technology solution, including shopping.
Yeah.
I know this is a little outside the topic of millennial parents, but one thing we have found is that Gen Zers, which your daughter would fall into, Artemis, you know, their first experience with shopping might be through a tablet. And they love shopping in the store, but they don't like to be bored. So have you seen sort of the use of technology and your daughter's exposure to technology impact kind of how she expects to you know, experience the world. I know she might not be shopping quite yet.
Well, one, she thinks there's an endless money pit, which I know my parents also thought, we thought, but she just thinks anything you just order, she does believe that. And that started a lot younger than I wish. And that's definitely my fault. But I will say the store experience is something I think it's an amazing way just to watch them in stores, especially just it, that hasn't changed. Like I can't replace that experience walking down the toy aisle yet for her. That she'll pick that any day over watching, you know, one of the what the kid video channels we have. So I love that she still has that. We make sure to still do that to experience that for her.
And when you take her out of there without a toy, does that work well?
That has not happened.
Okay,
but we do have limits.
No wonder she likes the story.
I know. That we're very lucky that we do that. We set a limit, just like we do for the technology time. But I do think the biggest thing is the speed that she thinks products should be there, because I've utilized things that allow product delivery within a few hours when we really need something, and they're absorbing everything. So it's a little bit scary that probably she's getting too much of that. But we set limits on the amount of time and what can even be accessed. We actually block Wi-Fi sometimes, and she hasn't hit that point yet where she knows how to trick us with those things. So, but knowing a two-year-old, knowing how to log in is a little creepy, and making sure she appreciates things like books and reading. That's something we're getting to now.
I have a millennial godchild, and they came down to visit at the farm, and we do not have Wi-Fi at the farm. Mm-hmm. And the look of sheer terror on his face when he asked, "What's the Wi-Fi?" And I said, "We don't have it." I honestly thought he was going to just self-immolate because he had no idea what he was going to do because he didn't have access to
it
his
did
games.
Hurt me a little when you said that right now inside the robot in me did hurt a little. Yeah. It's something, you know, it's David's totally right. You know, if you wait too long, you may have to set all these rules. I think we're going to end up having to set rules and it's going to be scary where the line is, but I'm already trying to figure out when a kid is supposed to get a phone and when that's going to happen. And that's kind of a scary thought.
It's getting younger and younger.
Yeah.
Catherine, if you look at the research, I mean, what are the top two things that really kind of came out at you?
Well, first, we've touched on one of them, which is the use of technology and embracing things like subscription services and same day delivery. Parents love that, getting items right away, which can be, you know, a challenge for retailers, but I think that's where the future is going. And then the other is how loyal parents are. And this is one area where actually millennials weren't different from Gen Xers or baby boomers. Parents of all generations felt really loyal to the brands they shopped and really cared about what a brand stands for. So I don't know if that factored into how you all chose brands for your kids, but parents today, about half say they will research what a brand stands for before buying it, which kind of shocked me.
I just know my daughter loves to shop. she's Gen Z, and she shops in stores. She shops online. There's an endless stream of packages coming to our house. I mean, my wife has actually opened up a branch post office to handle all of it. You know, but it's all good. We love retail.
Yeah, and I'll say the loyalty. I feel pretty strongly about that. Try to be more environmentally conscious and kind of watching the chemicals and stuff in products. And so I have a huge loyalty to those brands. And now you could access more and more information about how a product's made and how, you know, they are with their employees and all of that. So I do think about that with not every decision.
David is shaking his head.
I'm killing David right now. But I think it's really important. So I spend time on that, and I, you know, may spend more money on it to be able to give that loyalty to the brands that care.
Yeah. That's definitely not how I was raised. Yeah, I was like, will it kill you? No.
No.
She didn't. We're buying it.
Right. Actually, the first sentence I ever learned was, attention came our chop.
Well, we're almost out of time, but before we go, we have a section of this program that I'm sure you may be familiar with if you've listened to the podcast in the past. It's called Rapid Fire. Just answer quickly and don't spend too much time thinking about your answers. Are you ready?
Ready.
Catherine, you want to start?
Sure. Well, this is a little timely, but which royal wedding, Kate or Meghan Markle's?
Meghan.
Meghan.
Oh. And then what's the one app you can't live without right now?
Audible.
Waze.
Waze makes it. That's very good.
It's true. I cracked my statement.
Waze. All right. What's the best parenting advice you've ever received?
Beware of the forums.
Don't use WebMD.
Same line.
I wish someone had given me that advice at one point. What is the best way to embarrass your kid?
I've got lots of pictures. Really good pictures. We're saving them for rehearsal dinners.
Yeah, I can't think of it yet. 3.5. I don't know if I can embarrass the 3.5-year-old yet. Maybe if I start dancing.
Oh, that does it every time.
It's pretty bad.
Well, I think that we're almost out of time. And so, Catherine, I want to ask you a question, which is, if people want to learn more about this research that you have done, where should they go?
They should go to nrf.com/consumerview, where all this information and more is available.
Well, thank you, Artemis Berry. Thank you, David French. And thank all of you out there for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. We're going to post more information about the topics we discussed today on our website, retailgetsreal.com, where you can also find links to other episodes. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by NRF. For more information about the National Retail Federation, visit us online at nrf.com.